Welcome to Everyday Endeavors, a Christian podcast where we talk about becoming more like Christ in our everyday lives. Regardless of ethnicity, age, or sex, this podcast walks through the various aspects of life, whereby we try to mature like Christ daily. I am your host, Osasre Mafidon, and welcome to Season 2. Everyone, welcome back to Suited Up, a series on the armor of God. In today's episode, we are going to be looking at why the armor of God was created for Christians, how this battle is much more than sin, and how having this battle and going through this battle is actually so much better than not going through it at all. All this through Scripture, our ultimate spiritual book of evidence. So, as I spoke about in the last episode, the armor of God is something imperative in our Christian walk. It is imperative in our everyday lives. And if we do not take it seriously, it's going to place deep limitations on how we see, how we navigate, and even how we interact with the world around us. And personally, I want each and every one of us, everyone listening right now, to experience the world as God intended for you and to not live bound or under continuous strife, but live free. And when we know we have the equipment to continuously win, we should walk in that, obviously. So let's become free together. For more information on the significance of the armor of God, please refer to Are You Ready to Suit Up by Everyday Endeavors. For like an infomercial. Anyways, let's get back into it. So when I was preparing for this episode, man, let me tell you, first of all, I have filmed this episode, episode 2 in the series Suited Up, at least 6 times. I have filmed it, listened to it, deleted it so many times because each time, it just wasn't giving. I didn't understand what was going on. I was like, okay, I know that I'm supposed to talk about this topic specifically, but I didn't know why God was asking me to. So upon spending time with him and kind of understanding what's going on, it started to make a little more sense. So it started to make more sense. And even last episode when I was like working on it and preparing for it, this statement kept popping in my mind, like, the armor of God is made for Christians. The armor of God is made for Christians. And as I was working on the episode, I thought that was what this episode had to be about. But it was so much deeper than that. It was so much deeper than that. And the thing is, the armor of God is not only for the body of Christ, which I'm going to speak about today. But the reason Christians need this armor is because the battle we face is about our calling. That the reason the enemy continues to come after you, you Christian, is not because of sin in and of itself, but what sin does to our calling. What sin does to our calling every day. Man, this is a revelation that I didn't even know about. Like, so I just hope that as you listen to this episode today, you can also receive this revelation as well. So let's go into it. Let's talk about the first parts of what this is all about. Okay, so I have pieces of evidence via scripture that clearly demonstrate how the armor of God is for Christians and Christians alone. And I'm not trying to segregate between non-Christians and Christians, but I just want to make it very clear what this armor is for. Okay. So in Ephesians 6, 14 to 19, which is our anchor scripture, it says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So when we read this and we're talking about, okay, how is the armor of God related to and is only for Christians? The truth is, when we're reading the scripture, all the armor pieces are only achieved once you come into personal relationship with God. So you can only have these armor pieces if you are in direct relationship with God. How? Let me prove it to you. When you come into a relationship with Jesus, it opens you up to the truth. And we learn that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And Jesus being the truth, if you're not a believer, you won't be able to understand the concept of that truth and other truths that are written in the Bible. When you're not a Christian, these concepts are hard for you to grasp and you can't understand. And God cannot reveal to you and unveil to you what that looks like because you're not his child. So when you come into relationship with God, it actually opens you up to righteousness. So now after you declare that you believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again on the third day, and that he canceled and defeated hell, death, and the grave, you actually come into this concept of righteousness, which is so beautiful. Righteousness is basically right standing with God. I can't remember what scripture, where it is exactly, but it does say that the only way you can come to God is through Jesus. So if you don't believe in Jesus, babies, you cannot have righteousness. It's literally impossible. Next, with relationship with God, with relationship with Jesus, it actually opens you up to peace. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding that the world cannot attain, that they try different things, they try meditation, they try yoga, but it just does not work for them because you're not with Jesus and the peace is not giving because it's not coming from the right source, period. When you're in relationship with Jesus, it opens you up to faith. It says in Hebrews 11:1, I'm working to become a Bible scholar. I think it's Hebrews for sure, but I think it's Hebrews 11:1 or Hebrews 1:11. I'm embarrassed. Please correct me. But in the book of Hebrews, we actually learned what faith is. It's something that you do not see, but you still believe in nonetheless. So when you're in relationship with Jesus, there is this concept of faith. And when you have faith, it is so beautiful when it's in the right, when it comes from the right source. So relationship with Jesus opens you up to salvation. This is clear cut. Salvation is being saved because of Jesus. So if you don't have a relationship with God, you cannot be saved. Boom. Relationship with Jesus opens you up to the Spirit, the Bible. There's revelations that we can only see after we have been unveiled from the world. And that comes from relationship with Jesus. And lastly, the relationship with Jesus opens you up and equips you to pray. Right? I think it says that the earnest prayers of the righteous are answered. So what I basically just did there is I went through all of the armor pieces. And I just demonstrated how through these armor pieces, you can only attain each and every one of them if you are in Christ Jesus. And it's simple as that. I cannot give you anything corner. I cannot make it harder. It's just like that. Huh? Simple. So that's just like the first part. And I also want to note that I said the armor of God is for Christians. I did not say that the spiritual battles we all face are only for Christians as well. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, although everyone is fighting battles in the unseen world, the soldiers that have the equipment to fight and win, which in Ephesians 6, we learned that the word win actually means stand firm, are Christians. So those armor pieces are given to Christians in the spiritual realm because God sees them as his children, right? He equips his children always, and he never leaves us unprepared. Okay, I hope you're following. I hope it's making sense. I hope it's giving what it's supposed to give. That's the first. Those are the two pieces of evidence just demonstrating that being in Christ, really being in Christ, is what results and is what opens you up to the armor of God. Again, how can you be a part of the armor of God if you don't have God in the equation? It really does not make sense. So now we're going to go into kind of like the meat of this episode, which I'm very excited about because this revelation sucker punched me and I was like, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. And I feel like, please, you know what? Just sit down, correct, buckle yourself up because it's going to be a bumpy ride. And I really hope that you learn the things that I was able to learn during this time. So as I discussed in the last episode, the reason we received the armor of God from God is because of protection. The enemy does not want Christians to fulfill their numerous purposes, either their numerous callings, either in an individual level or a collective level, as in a church daily. He does not want us to fulfill this. Thus, the enemy works very, very, very hard to go against us every single day, literally at least once an hour. at least 10 times an hour. Let's be real. Because he's afraid that when we step into our full role, that we will be able to save so many lost souls that hell becomes depopulated, right? The enemy has one goal: steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take people into hell. He wants people to stay confused. He wants people to stay lost. But if a Christian, if every single person that identified as a Christian, if every single person who identified as a disciple of Jesus fulfilled their role, the enemy would run. It would just be tonda, tonda. Do you know how scared he would be? That's why he works so hard for us to not fulfill our purpose. That's why when I'm working on this episode, it took me 6 tries. Mercy. 6 tries to sit down here and do it. But I'm so glad for Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, because they're so much greater and so much more powerful than the enemy. So when you tap into that constantly, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. This thing I'm preaching to you right now, I'm preaching to myself because it's something that I need and it's something that I need to apply in my everyday lives. So back to it. This explains why Paul is teaching us about the armor of God and how we can continuously stand firm in a place of victory when the evil day comes. That we can continue to stand firm in fulfilling our purpose despite the attacks that the enemy continues to give. Okay, so this fight that we're fighting is not about flesh and blood. It is not about sin. It goes far, far beyond that. This is a fight for our calling. This is a fight that is trying to suffocate our purpose from us. That the enemy makes you sin so that it can come for your calling. Like I said before, the reason the devil continues to come against us Christians is not because of sin in and of itself, which I'll also prove, but it's about what sin does to your calling. So let's think about it this way. Before Jesus died for our sins, the battle was simply sin. So if we're looking at the Old Testament, the things that they had to do, if you look at Moses, if you look at, just the Israelites in general, the concept and the battle that they were facing was against sin itself. So you're fighting to not commit a sin, to uphold the Ten Commandments. That's what they were doing. Because if they didn't uphold the Ten Commandments, it literally meant that they were going to hell. And then they would have to atone for their sins. And it would be like, you're erasing the debt that you just put upon yourself. But after all of this, when Jesus came and he fulfilled his purpose, when Jesus came and he died for all of our sins, that means literally canceling every single one of them. So the sins that you have committed, the sins that you are committing, and the sins that you will commit are all forgiven, which means that because of this, you're able to go into heaven. So what happened in the spiritual realm is the purpose and reason for sin changed for the enemy. Before, it was just sin in and of itself. But now, because Jesus died for our sins, because we're no longer slaves to sin, because we're no longer bound by our sin, because when God sees us, he sees perfection, the enemy's new goal for Christians is to make us sin so that we cannot fulfill purpose, or so that it makes it very hard to continue to fulfill our purpose. Does that make sense? So let me kind of give you a play-by-play of what that would look like. So literally, just imagine, if you want to close your eyes, so I can give you a picture. Think of a Christian who's come into Christ, and he's kind of confused. He doesn't really understand the whole concept of grace, righteousness, justification, sanctification. He doesn't really understand those concepts. The devil will tempt him, and that sin will result in him feeling guilty. Then that guilt will lead into condemnation, thinking that he's damned, that he's not good enough. It's going to make him feel unworthy to come to God, unworthy to fulfill purpose, unworthy to even move in a direction that looks a little bit like Jesus. I cannot touch it. I'm not good enough. So because he feels unworthy, he never does. He never goes to God. He never seeks God to ask, okay, God, what am I supposed to do with my life? What is my purpose? How am I supposed to be your hands and feet on this world? He never asked that question. And because he doesn't ask that question, yes, he came into Christ. He said he was saved, or he prayed and he became saved. His name is written in the book of life. He lives in Christ, but not for Christ. And he spends his time that God has given him on earth never advancing, never doing what he was supposed to do. And obviously, because it does not sustain you, you go to the world trying to find some type of peace, whether sleeping around, popping pills, smoking, etc., etc. So you can see how sin can lead to an aimless life. It's just one sin that will bring you down. You ever wonder why it's a sin to watch porn, why it's a sin to gossip, why it's a sin to be jealous, why it's a sin to be all the sins that God lists is to protect us from this exact thing. It's because he knows that once you get into that sin, one, it can actually consume you, making you very lost, making you very confused. But aside from that, the whole point is if it makes you very lost, if it makes you very confused, you're not able to focus long enough to figure out what you're supposed to do for God. And if you know what you're supposed to do for God and you're doing that, if you continue to sin, you feel condemned. You feel like you don't have the right to stand up in front of people and to speak God's truth because you're so dirty. That's what sin is doing. It's not sin in and of itself. It's the consequences of that sin. That's why it's so crazy that the enemy was like, okay, I know that I can't take them to hell. So how am I still going to disrupt their life? How am I still going to bring death, hell? Not death, hell. How am I still going to just destroy them? Like it says in John 10:10. And he does that through sin. Okay, I'm going to make them sin. And that sin is either going to make them feel guilty, which is going to make them stop. That sin is either going to make them not seek God, which is not, they're not going to figure out their purpose because of that. That sin is going to make them feel unworthy, so they never speak up about God. That sin is going to make them feel small, so they never talk about it when they're in a small group. That sin is going to make them feel like they lack something. So whenever there's a position that God has clearly said is for them, they'll never apply for it. It's all to make you make sure that they don't do what they're supposed to do, that they don't fulfill their purpose every single day. So then we can see why we see the reason why the Holy Spirit and God through people convict us to stop sinning. Stop watching porn. Stop gossiping. Stop being jealous. Stop being gluttonous. Stop being angry. We have a main purpose, but we have so many purposes. And if you continue to live in that sin, if we continue to live in that sin, it stops us from receiving and God being able to unleash and unveil all the things that he has for us to do for him. You ever notice after you go to church and you feel all elated, like, I feel refreshed, a new fire. And then your ex hits you up.
Hey, babe. You know, I've been thinking about this, and I've been really wondering, like, you trying to slide through? You trying to do a little something on the side? Like, what's going on?
And now you're swayed. Maybe I should just, you know, I've been good with God for a little bit. Let me just enjoy some things. Now you go back, and it's just destruction. Now you're too depressed to even pray. Do you see how the enemy works? So I hope that you see how this battle goes beyond sin. I hope that you're able, that the Holy Spirit right now is unveiling to you and revealing to you how this battle is so much more than sin. This is about helping God's people. This is about helping God save people's lives, leaving a legacy. And we cannot do that if we're constantly blinded by the sins that we do. This is why it says that we are dead to sin. We are no longer a slave to sin. Because the enemy, he knows he can't do nothing. He knows he ain't got no power. He doesn't care that you didn't read the Bible. The reason that he even made it so hard for you to read the Bible is because in that time, there might have been revelation. He doesn't care that you watch porn. He doesn't care how it makes you feel. He doesn't care. What he cares about is that because of it, you're not going to fulfill purpose. Simple as that. He doesn't care that you'll watch a Netflix show and you'll binge it for 12 hours. He just cares that because of that time, you weren't able to spend time with God. Not me screaming at myself, mercy, mercy. So when we look at this new battle after salvation, this battle is about our calling. It's about fulfilling our purpose and doing what God has told us to do and doing it well. Like when the Holy Spirit wrote through Paul about the armor of God, God knew the intense reality behind the battle. He knew what the enemy would do with the sin, and he knew how he would come against us every single day so we wouldn't fulfill our purpose. So he equipped his children with these armor pieces and their associated virtues so that we would be able to continuously win. So, just spoken, you might be wondering, okay, Zazare, this Christian walk is looking a little scary. Like, the enemy's going to come for me every single day because I believe in Jesus, because I gave my life to Jesus. I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to continue in this walk, continue in this fight, to be honest. That is understandable. So I'm just going to list to you a couple of reasons why I feel like being a part of this fight is so much more important, so much better, and it's so worth being in this fight than running to the world and trying to be a part of that. I have four main reasons, but there are thousands. All right, first one, our salvation is secure. Why would I continue to be in this fight? Because I know that this world is temporary. And that when Jesus blows that trumpet, I know where I'm going. I know that I'm going to see Jesus. I know I'm going to see God. And I know I'm going to be walking in pavements of gold. Okay? I don't want hell. It's not a vibe. It's not going to be a party. You're not going to be dancing and having fun. You're going to be burning for eternity. And that's not my vibe. Number two, the world promises nothing but lies. It might seem better, but just for a while. The world will tell you, sleep around, do this, drink, have sex, go to all the types of parties, go clubbing, all types of stuff. But it's all lies. They promise that you'll have fun, but you end up heartbroken. They promise that you have fun, but then you become addicted. The world will promise you everything, but give you nothing. So why would I want to be a part of that? I'd rather God, who promises me everything, and I actually get everything. Number three, true and authentic joy, peace, satisfaction can only come from God. This also couples with the last one. When the world is promising all these things, like you're going to be satisfied, you're going to have true joy, you're going to have peace, it's a lie. But when you come into relationship with God, when you continue in this fight, God will continue always to give you that joy, to give you that peace, and to give you that satisfaction, which is what I want. There are people who are billionaires, and they're not happy. Just because they smile in paparazzi photos doesn't mean that they're happy. We see celebrities all the time committing suicide because money, fame, all those things does not give you satisfaction, does not give you peace, and does not give you joy. But me, at my young age, fulfilling God's purpose is enough for me. And it gives me exactly what I need. Number four, just because you're not fighting against the enemy in the battle does not mean that the enemy is for you. You will face the same problems as a Christian, but your outcome can never be the same. Just because you don't want to be spiritually equipped doesn't mean you're not in this battle. You are in this battle. You're just not prepared. You're never prepared because you're not in the right relationships. You're not in relationship with God. So how can you ever, you know what I mean? How can you ever be prepared? It doesn't make sense. And you'll face the same problems. We all face the same things. If you don't believe in Jesus, in the Bible, it actually says, Jesus said that we would face trials and tribulations. So just because I'm Christian doesn't mean I'm not going to face anything. But the things that I am going to face, I will overcome. Every single problem that is going to be put in front of me and has been put in front of me, I will be victorious because that's what God said I am. Okay, so those are the four. Those are the four main reasons why I will continue to be in this fight any day of the week, then join the world. So now let's go into our recommendations. So what is this week's recommendation? This week's recommendation is actually meditating. Meditating on what we talked about today. Not like the weird meditation that the world provides. No. Just like throughout the day, just thinking about it and trying to ask God for revelation throughout the day. Yeah, that type of meditation. personally, it's taken me a while to even, like I told you in the beginning, it took me a while to understand this concept. It took me a while to like, okay, God, why am I supposed to talk about this in particular? And what is it that you want me to talk about? It took me a while to get there. So I'm not saying that you're, I'm not saying I'm dumb, but I'm not saying that you're where I'm at. Maybe it was very easy for you to grasp, but even still, meditate, think about it, talk to people about it, you know? So please take some time to get how significant the armor of God is for our calling and our purpose. Begin to understand it so that when we go into the next couple episodes, when I'm talking about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, you're not just kind of like, oh, these are kind of nice to have, like, but it's like, I need this to survive. And please be discerning, okay? Pray for discernment. Be mindful of the challenges and temptations the devil will present to you this week. Because you're going to hear this, you're going to feel empowered, and then some type of battle is going to happen to you. Please, don't forget to follow this podcast and to share this episode. If it was helpful to you, if it aided you in any way, if it even confirmed something that you were, that God was telling you to do, please share this episode. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I pray that you learn something new and are able to apply it in your life. Now, go live out your life as a creation of God in your everyday endeavors. Bye.